When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stink of Truth podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stink of Truth podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
All right, and just like that, it's a best of three, ladies and gentlemen. A three-game series for the rights to go to the ALCS. It's a best of three in the Royals' own home field advantage. 4-2, the final score. Royals even up the ALDS, and they earn a split in the Big Apple. Matt, so much to talk about after this game. But my number one question for you, do you feel in control right now? Do you feel in control of this series? Do you feel in control of October? I don't know how much of the Tigers-Guardians game you were able to watch or listen to today, but when you look at the landscape of the American League, when you look at the remaining eight teams in the tournament, do you feel in control right now, Royals fans? With Reagans and Lugo and Waka, with Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny, honestly, not one of them, outside of Salvi's game-tying home run in the fourth inning. But outside of that, Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, outside of Salvi's solo bomb there in the fourth inning, those three went 0-for-12. Cole Reagans doesn't record an out in the fifth inning. A day after Michael Waka doesn't record an out in the fifth inning. The fact that the Royals are leaving New York with a split. Man, it's going to be an amazing scene coming up on Wednesday at Kauffman Stadium. Game three of the ALDS. Seth Lugo and Clark Schmidt squaring off in front of a capacity crowd. A sea of royal blue. More than 40,000 Royals fans that I believe should indeed feel in complete and utter control. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Now, as far as the game is concerned, now we can talk about whatever you want to dive into tonight as it pertains to your Kansas City Royals. We can look ahead to game three. We can talk about this season. I want to know if you do indeed feel in control. But my takeaway from this game comes down to two things. The inexperienced relievers in this bullpen and the experienced bats in this lineup. That, to me, was the story of this 4-2 Royals victory. Cole Reagans, I'm not going to say that Cole Reagans was bad. No, certainly not. Four innings of one-run baseball, that is well short of the standard. That's well short of the expectation that I know I had for Cole Reagans going into the game. He wasn't bad. Obviously wasn't great. But he was picked up by his bullpen. and he battled like always. I mean, that final line, four innings of one-run baseball. Reagans needed 87 pitches to put up that line. Walked four batters, but found a way to wiggle out of jam after jam after jam. Maybe none bigger than the one right out of the gate in the bottom of the first inning. With Carlos Rodon breathing fire in the top half of the frame, Reagans comes out and walks the first two batters, but strikes Aaron Judge out, gets Austin Wells staring at a slider painted, and gets Giancarlo Stanton to ground out to second base. So again, Reagans wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. Reagans was picked up by the bullpen tonight. Angel Zerpa, brought in to once again be the Soto stopper, and tonight he gets the job done, getting Soto to stare at a slider. And after walking Aaron Judge, after being understandably careful with the great number 99, Angel Zerpa, with the help of some freaky athleticism from Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop, Zerpa gets the inning-ending double play. John Schreiber, a 1-2-3 sixth inning. Chris Bubich, two scoreless frames, including an undressing of Austin Wells in the eighth. Chris Bubich was sensational. Bubich, like Zerpa, the beneficiary of having Bobby Witt Jr. as his shortstop. Bobby makes another outstanding play to start up an inning-ending double play. And then Lucas Ursek, with a three-run cushion, gives up a home run to Jazz Chisholm, but is undeterred, stays in the fight, gives up another line drive, but is able to secure his third save of this postseason. And then the experienced bats. All four Royals runs coming in that four-run fourth. Salvi, Yuli, Tommy Pham, and Garrett Hampson doing the damage. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Let's start off with Charlie in KCK. Charlie, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for picking up my call. I just want to let you know that I was out at Arrowhead tonight, and, I mean, let's go Royals chants going off in October. It's special,
really?
Vern.
Nice.
I'm excited about this postseason. You said it. We are in control of this postseason. I'll let all off air. Let's go Royals. Let's go Chiefs. How about Kansas City? Thanks, Vern.
City of Champions. That's what Salvi was calling it before the game. And you certainly have all of the characteristics of a championship team. I'll tell you that right now. You know, Bobby Witt Jr., I already see it on the postgame text line. Yeah, Bobby went 0-for-5. No doubt. First time in his career, Bobby's had back-to-back 0-for-5s. Is that surprising? Right? That's a little bit surprising. Third year, guy plays every single game. The first time he suffers back-to-back 0-for-5s are in New York in the ALDS. I'll tell you this, though. The last person I'm concerned about is Bobby Witt Jr. Now, as I say that, I'll admit, in the seventh inning, that punch out that Bobby had against Clay Holmes, yeah, that was reflective of someone trying to do a little bit too much, trying to erase those first two punch outs with one big knock right there. And I understand he had a man in scoring position in Michael Garcia, and he wanted to come through, but Bobby expanded to a tune that we don't often see. So I understand Bobby not getting it done offensively, but as I mentioned, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, outside of Salvi's home run, you know, those three of this series haven't done a ton. Haven't seen Seth Lugo yet. Waka, Knorr, Reagans recorded an out in the fifth inning, and you split in New York. You took home field advantage from the Pinstripers. And, again, Bobby Witt Jr. with two of the... those are my top two defensive plays. Tommy Pham had a nice night defensively as well as he bounces from left field to right field. Made some nice running catches both in left and right, but the star defensively to me was Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, we could go into more detail a little bit later on in the show with those inning-ending double plays, but both of them incredibly athletic and reflective of a young man that's about to win his first career Gold Glove. Let's go to Jeff in Kansas City. Jeff, you're on AM 610 The Fan as the Royals take Game 2 of the ALDS, winning 4-2 in the Bronx. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm sitting in the parking lot of Arrowhead trying to get out of here. I can't imagine my 8-year-old self happening right now. Like, he wouldn't like believe driving? Me if I told him I'd be leaving Arrowhead Monday Night Football. You're talking to 5-0 back-to-back World Series champions and Royals that are ready to host two games at home and send the Yankees home. It's going to be great.
I'm with you, Jeff. Thank you very much for calling up the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. Yeah, if you're making your way out of Arrowhead, bouncing between the Chiefs broadcast on 96.5 The Fan and the Royals broadcast on The Fan AM 610, dial me up. Give me your thoughts on this postseason victory, the 25th postseason victory of Salvador Perez's Royals career. Salvi now 25-10 in October, and the captain has a base hit in all four playoff games this season. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jays Southland Tow. Let's go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line. We go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
We're busting, man. We're busting. It's just great. The home run by Perez was huge. The numbers speak for themselves. He was 12 of 26 off of Rodon before that. Rodon came up too pumped up, and we just landed on him in the fourth inning. And of the two teams that were out there tonight, which team took the extra base? Which team was stealing bases? Which team was making all the defensive plays? It was us. Pham was great in right field. Bobby Witt was just awesome. I mean, we don't have to have the big-name players as long as we're playing as a team. And you would have thought to win tonight, Reagans would have had to gone six or seven innings at least, and he only went four. And it didn't matter because Zerpa, who had been sent down earlier this year, put in his inning. Schreiber, who'd been hurt and had to come back. Bubic, who wasn't even on the team until he came back from Tommy John surgery. And then Urseg, who obviously we got in the trade. We're busting. We're like George Costanza in Seinfeld when he's busting, the hand model. Jerry. He tells Jerry, I'm busting. We got Lugo going on Wednesday. Lugo's last time against the Yankees, he gave up a hit to start the game. Then he retired 17 in a row and then gave up a second hit. Pitched a two-hitter through seven innings, or it might have been eight innings, and we beat him 5-0. The Yankees, it's going to get kind of tight around the throat if Lugo puts that up on Wednesday.
No doubt. That place is going to be rocking. Clark Schmidt's about to feel it for his first postseason start as a New York Yankee. Always nice hearing from you, Phil. I appreciate the phone call. No doubt we are busted, Jerry. No doubt about it. Yeah, listen, the Royals are in complete control. In complete control of this series. And quite possibly in control of October baseball, period. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. That's also the text line number. Look, there's no surprise that the Royals find themselves in this position. You and I have seen the ability in this team dating back to the first month of the season when we would talk about having the most powerful weapons in the sports. In elite starting pitching, elite defense, and elite team speed. Sure, having the MVP and Bobby Witt Jr., having some of the most clutch bats in the league was also beneficial. Right? Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi coming through almost every time this season. You know, that became part of the standard. So, okay, this team, for the most part this year, has been led by the rotation, the defense, the team speed, and three clutch bats. Now, that was enough to offset a below-average bullpen and a middle-of-the-road offense. But if you flip that bullpen into a strength, as it's been now for more than a month, as it's clearly been this postseason, case can be made the bullpen won you this game today. You now have a relief core that is a strength to go along with elite starters, defense, team speed, clutch bats, and the best damn player on the planet. Who else can say these things? What other team in Major League Baseball right now can say these things? This is why I claim that this Royals ball club is in complete control. Oh, maybe the Padres. Okay. I see Kathy in Los Angeles hanging on hold on the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Kathy, thanks for the phone call. Honestly, the Royals, the Padres, that Phillies bullpen's been coughing it up. I don't know too many more well-rounded teams than, Kathy, your two favorite teams.
Well, like I told you at the beginning of the season, Vern, looks like my dream hopefully is getting closer and closer to coming true. I think Bobby, once he gets back to Kansas City, is probably going to start hitting again once he gets back to the, you know, to the fans cheering him on. But it's going to be so exciting to see Vern. This has been an exhausting couple of days watching the two teams, but it's been a fun couple of days. And I'm just glad to see that the Royals won this tonight. I started listening and watching the game at work and had to go to physical therapy, and then was listening to it during physical therapy. So it was a great game tonight. Glad Salvi got that home run.
You got to feel good for Salvi, too. Did the tongue wag between third and home. His sixth career postseason home run. Only George Brett has more in Royals franchise history. Kathy, nice to hear from you. All four runs come in the fourth inning as the Royals win 4-2. Salvi, a 2-0 slider in the middle of the dish. Are you kidding me? What do you expect him to do with that? 402 feet over the left field wall. Later on, Yuli Gurriel, a 7-pitch battle. He takes a slider down. He takes it into left field, advances to second base on a wild pitch. Nice base running there by the 40-year-old. Tommy Pham, following a Michael Massey strikeout in a situation where the only thing Massey cannot do is punch out. He punched out, but Tommy Pham picks him up. Smokes an elevated slider to right center field. Plates Yuli Gurriel. And the Royals take a 2-1 lead. They would never look back because two batters later, Garrett Hampson, again, he ends Carlos Rodon's night as he spanks a slider through the left side. That scores Tommy Pham, and it's 3-1 Kansas City. The very next pitch, the first pitch from Ian Hamilton, the righty reliever out of the Yankees' pen, Michael Garcia waits back on that slider, shoots it to the opposite field, and that scores Garrett Hampson. 4-1 Kansas City. Urseg would give one back in the ninth, but he wouldn't sweat it. We won't sweat it. Royals win 4-2, and they even up this ALDS. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. You feel great for Salvi, great for Bobby, great for all the guys as they come back home. Kathy, your point of, I think Bobby's going to start producing as the boys return home coming up on Wednesday. I agree. But I don't think it's because they're coming home, right? Bobby won a pair of games in Baltimore. I think Bobby is going to start coming through, going to start producing offensively starting on Wednesday because a player of his caliber doesn't go three straight games carrying it over. He's too darn good and he's too darn fast to not pick up a base knock, an infield knock, to get on somehow. But again, as I mentioned, back-to-back 0-for-5s for Bobby Witt Jr. for the first time in his big league career. Let's go to Austin in Paola. Austin, you're next up. On the post-game show as the Royals win 4-2. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, Vern. Sorry if my voice is a little hoarse. Me and my mom and a bunch of Royals fans at Arrowhead were getting a little rowdy.
Believe it.
Hey, just wanted to call in first off. To the old vets on the team, the old guys, thank you for picking up your lunch pail tonight and grinding out and going to work and checking that pay stub. Tommy Pham, clutch tonight. Gurriel, that guy just continues to amaze me during this offseason. And then Salvi, we were watching on our phones at Arrowhead, and what was I thought was really special and cool to see that home run, not only to see Salvi just bomb that thing, but to see it from the umpire's helmet cam. That was pretty sick. But the analogy I want to make real quick, and I'll hop off, is, well, we talked about playing on house money. The Royals are playing with everything. We're cool, calm, and collected. Well, guess what? We found ourselves in the Invitational, and we just bumped ourselves up into the high roller table. And we're playing with some pretty nice cards, and we just got to keep playing that kind of style. And I think, guess what? Arrowhead was rowdy tonight, but wait until you see Wednesday. Thanks, Vern.
I can't wait, man. I cannot wait. I can't imagine I have to wait. I have to fall asleep twice in order to arrive at Kauffman Stadium Wednesday night. 6:08 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Tommy Pham. RBI single in the fourth inning. He steals a base as well. Pham is now a 302 hitter in 35 postseason games. Let's go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Main Street Credit Union, your financial all-star team, turning curveballs into home runs. Let's go to Scott in Midtown. You're next up on the post-game show. Is Scott, we have ourselves a best of three. How do you feel, buddy?
Oh, my God, Vern. You're the man. And for the younger fans out there, I'm 54 years old. So I grew up with the 70s, 80s, Willie Wilson, George Brett, Hal McRae, Dennis Leonard, Larry Gura, Paul Splitorf, not intimidated by the Yankees in any way. We had four fantastic playoff games, series with them before. We're going to have another one. The Royals have never, ever shown any intimidation from the Yankees in the playoffs. I think the bats are underperforming a little bit. Our pitching has been down. Hey, man, but we're finding a way to win. And go, Royals. And to the Yankees, bring it.
It's all that matters. Come out on the winning end when it's all said and done. Scott, thank you very much for the phone call. Again, listen, if you would have told me before the game that Cole Reagans doesn't record an out in the fifth inning and he needs 87 pitches to get through four, I would not believe the Royals could win if you would have also paired that information with the note about Bobby and Vinny combining to go 0-for-9 with six punch-outs. Oh, my. I guess I didn't even register that Vinny had three punch-outs. How many times has that happened in his big league career? I mentioned Bobby going back-to-back 0-for-5s has never happened. Boy, 0-for-4 with three punchies for Vinny. Wow. Five strikeouts in two games for Vinny Pasquantino, and you split the series? You know, I feel like the next thing you would say is, wow, the Royals are fortunate, or the Royals are lucky to get out of the Bronx with a split. I don't feel that way, though. I understand I've mentioned quite a bit that Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Bobby, Vinny, that some of the most important players on this team have really not given you all that much in the ALDS, at least in the first two games. And yet I don't feel fortunate. I don't feel lucky. I feel like that's now a reflection of exactly why I feel in complete and utter control. If I'm a Royals fan, if I'm a Royals player, executive, the owner. I feel like this team is in complete control because of those things. Because now a team that was so beholden to its starting pitching turning in a quality start, shackled to those big three bats doing the damage, the fact that neither one of those things has happened, and you still look like the better team, right? Through 18 innings, you tell me who's the better team. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7965. I mean, unless you don't believe that Bobby and Vinny, that Lugo and Reagans and Waka are who they've proven to be over the course of the year. Like, unless you believe that the pressure's getting to these guys, the ALDS pressure, I've never heard of it, but let's pretend like it's a thing. Unless you don't think that this 0-for-10 stretch for Bobby, 0-for-9 stretch for Vinny is, unless you think that's something that's actually going to continue, man, you have to feel like King freaking Kong right now. Because the Yankees are going to get on a plane, fly here with their backs against the wall. They have to win a game in Kansas City. They have to beat either Seth Lugo or Michael Waka. Back-to-back nights, remember. Now, it's not going to be as easy to pull the ripcord on your starting pitcher when you're pitching or playing back-to-back nights. I trust Lugo. I trust Waka. Now suddenly this bullpen looks to be a strength as well, which again makes this one of, if not the most well-rounded team remaining in Major League Baseball. Let's go to Lance in Overland Park. Lance, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals take game two, winning 4-2. Lance, go ahead.
Hey, fantastic baseball game, man. That's exactly what we needed. It just made me think about a guest that Carrington had on his show a couple days ago, and he said the thought in New York was that this was going to be a mini bye for them because they were playing the lowly Royals. Well, it looks like they just got socked right in their head and brought right back to reality because Kansas City is bringing the fight, and they're lucky they're not down 0-2. So I can't wait, man. I had another question for you, but I'm going to listen off the air. I'm feeling pumped, man. Kansas City is lit tonight.
No, that's right, Lance. Thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate you dialing into the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Let's go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, always thankful for you taking my phone call. Here's my thoughts of the game tonight. What a night for Michael Garcia, man. Really proud of he should be really proud of himself, man. I mean, he's up and down, going 4-for-5 in game two in a pivotal game two in Yankee Stadium tonight, man. What a special night for him. I thought Cole did what Cole needed to do. Obviously, the bullpen came up big. I mean, you know, Bubich, Serpa, and, you know, Lucas getting the save. I know he gave up one run in the ninth, you know, and Schreiber also did a great job. Thing for Salvi, you know, bona fide Hall of Famers come through at the right time, you know, and you know, one thing that that I look at that probably a lot of people think about and talk about is, you know, the presence of Yuli Gurriel and Salvador Perez being on this baseball club. You know, they're world champions, and they bring a lot of experience to the young players that are experienced. But they're not backing down. I mean, they're ready to go. They're not backing down. They're not intimidated by the Yankees.
No, they're hitting 4-5 in your lineup, you know? I mean, two of the oldest guys on your team hitting right in the middle.
And, you know, the guy that called it before brought up a good point, man. I mean, I ain't bringing up the bad call or anything like that, man. But they're lucky they're not down 2-0, isn't it? I mean, sure. You know, Matt Contreras said, you know, we know it's going to be a tough game, man, but we're here to play baseball, and that's exactly what they do. They are there to play baseball.
Oh, boys are playing some ball, Justin. You know that's right, buddy. Nice to hear from you, as always. I'm glad you started that phone call off by shining a light on Michael Garcia. 4-for-5 tonight. The first Royal to collect four hits in a playoff game since his cousin, Alcides Escobar, in Game 3 of the ALCS back in 2015. Mikel Garcia becomes the fourth Royal in history to have a four-hit playoff game, joining Esky, Lokane, who did it in Game 2 of the ALCS in 2014 in Baltimore, and then George Brett, because of course George Brett did it. As a matter of fact, George Brett did it twice. He did it in that jaw-dropping ALCS Game 3 against the Blue Jays in 85, and then did it again in Game 7 as the Royals won the title in 1985 once again. So George, Lokane, Esky, and Mikel Garcia. Again, my game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jays Southland Tow. Let's go back to the phone calls and the Main Street Credit Union phone line. It's Big T and Shawnee. Big T, go ahead.
Yeah, hey Vern, thanks for taking my call, man. I'm loving tonight, baby. I'm partying tonight, everybody. We don't care if it's Tuesday night. People should be partying, cherishing this. Vern, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, when I grew up, I'm loving this. They were wiping those bad losses away. And Vern, what an epic night for a Kansas City sports fan. We have our two-time defending champ Chiefs taking care of business, going for three. We have our Royals, who look like champions, playing tonight. This is an epic night. I'll remember this for the rest of my life. Way to go, boys in blue. And, Vern, I got some stuff I want to talk about. Gary L., he's a Yankee killer no matter what jersey that guy wears. Salvador Perez, is anybody surprised that he sparked the 4-1 fourth for us? He's cementing that path, everybody, to Cooperstown. He's our captain, man. That was a blast. Way to go, Salvi. Chris Bubich, way to go. And how about Garrett Hampson, man? Down at the bottom of the order, man, getting 2-for-2. And then, you know, Vern, you've talked about this all year, everybody. Yankee Stadium, man. I've heard churches louder than Yankee Stadium tonight. Their butts are puckering, everybody. Their defense is no good. Vern has said defense, pitching defense, and elite team speed. Yankees had another error tonight. Matter of fact, the Yankees have the third most errors in MLB, which has led to 64 unearned runs, everybody. We've got them. We're going to take the Yankees down. And I can't wait till Wednesday. It's going to be epic. It's going to be awesome. Everybody needs to tip their hat to our Kansas City Royals. We're taking out the Yankees, everybody. And as always, way to go, boys in blue. Choo-choo! Choo-choo-choo!
The way Big T always addresses everybody always brings me a chuckle. Royals win Game 2. They've now won 8 straight Game 2s. No team in baseball history has ever won more Game 2s in a row than the Kansas City Royals. We have too many numbers in baseball. The fact that is a statistic. 8 straight Game 2 victories for your Kansas City Royals. Big T says that the New York fan base backsides are puckering up. Yeah, I agree. When Bobby Witt Jr. turned that 6-4-3 inning-ending double play in the 8th inning as he makes a great diving stab on a 110-mile-per-hour rocket off of the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. From his knees makes a nice flip to Michael Massey at second, and Massey with a strong throw to Yuli at first to finish off the second inning of work from Chris Bubich. Following that inning-ending double play, even though the Yankees were only down 4-1, the 48,000 in attendance in the Bronx began to make their way home. Yeah. In a playoff game, they went home early. Kansas City, I would like to think you're going to be better than that coming up on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, Kauffman Stadium. Here's the thing, Big T. Those Yankees fans might never see another game. Well, not in 2024. Seth Lugo against Clark Schmidt. That's advantage Royals in a large way. Michael Wacha, Garrett Cole coming up on Thursday night. Wow, that didn't look like a Garrett Cole that I'm going to shake in my boots before I face on Thursday. Maybe that's a battle of the bullpens. Maybe we see a Daniel Lynch or a Brady Singer in that game coming up on Thursday night. Who knows? Listen, the Royals haven't announced Michael Wacha as the starter for Game 4. Who knows how they play that? Maybe Brady Singer gets the first two innings and then they hand it off to Michael Wacha. My point is, they might not go back to New York. This thing might conclude at the K on Thursday. Royals win Game 2, 4-2, the final score. We get right back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Now Gleyber Torres, a right-handed batter, digs in against Ursay. In comes the pitch. First pitch fastball, ground ball Witt. He's going to go to first. Out at first. Game over. Royals win it and get the series even.
Heading back to Kauffman Stadium, Game 3 of the ALDS. 6:08 for the first pitch Wednesday night with the On Deck Show live from Kauffman Stadium beginning at 5 o'clock right here on your home for Royals baseball, Chiefs football in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan, and of course what you're listening to right now, The Fan AM 610. 4-2 the final. Salvador Perez gets the offense going with a leadoff homer in the fourth, ties things up. The Royals would put three more on the board there in the fourth inning, all coming with two outs, and the bullpen would make it hold up. Angel Zerpa, John Schreiber, and Chris Bubich combined for four innings of two-hit relief, and Lucas Ursig comes in and slams the door in the ninth. His third save this postseason. He's only bested by Greg Holland and Wade Davis. Those are the only two pitchers in Royals franchise history that have more postseason saves than Lucas Ursig. Let's go to Brett in Liberty. Brett, you're on the postgame show as the Royals win 4-2. Brett, what do you think as you join us on the Main Street Credit Union phone line? How does it feel?
It feels amazing. Vern, I hope you know how much Royals Nation appreciates you, your expertise, everything that you've given us, breaking it down, getting us excited. It's a wonderful time right now to be in Kansas City. Don't
Heck
you agree?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I went out tonight to watch our two favorite teams, and I knew when I left that I was going to be in trouble when I got back. But let me tell you, my friend, it was worth it. I'll be on the couch tonight, but it was worth it, my friend. See you all on Wednesday.
Oh, man, I had killed the mic on that one. I would like to – I got a few follow-up questions, Brett, but I understand I'm going to mind my own damn business. I hope you were – I don't know. Did I give that out this morning? Either way. I hope you bet on Tarek Skubal and Cole Reagans to win today. If you missed out in the wild card series, you should not have missed out today. My advice would be, if they pitch on the same day again, make yourself some money and dance with that parlay. Let's go to Jeff in Blue Springs. Jeff, you're next up on the postgame show and on the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Go ahead.
Thank you, Aaron.
Sir.
I'm pretty old. I'm 62, and my dad took me to all the home playoff games in 76 and 77. Sure. And so you know my plight. I want New York bad, and we got them.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
And Bobby, he's been bad at the
All right, Jeff, I appreciate the phone call. You got to turn your radio down. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, appreciate the phone call. Opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7965. Just a little word for the wise. Calling up a radio station, turn it down. There's a little delay in case some of you goofballs use some colorful language. Let's go to the text line. 913-586-7965. Josh in the Northland says he's eating crow after bashing Mikel and Garcia, for for bashing Mike Helgarcia and Garrett Hampson for most of the season. And now in October, Vern, they proved me wrong. Well, credit to you, Josh. Not many people write into the postgame show for a mea culpa. Hampson tonight, 2 for 2, a one-out single in the third, and an RBI rocket single to left in the fourth. Garrett Hampson's a perfect 3 for 3 in this series. 3 for 3 with a walk, a run scored, and 3 RBI. May not know this, but this is Garrett Hampson's third postseason run. Previously going to October with Colorado and Miami. 913-586-7965. Will in the 660. Nothing better than a Denny and Ryan broadcast. I had them synced up with the television broadcast. Yeah, that's the way to do it. No doubt about it. I'll be honest, man, I'm loving the booth. Denny, Jake, Stu, Ryan, just having all the guys in there. It has been a great listen. Denny is at his best in the postseason. Denny has been rock solid. And that Denny Matthews intuition has been as sharp as ever. Let's go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line. We go to Tyson and KCK. Tyson, you're on the postgame show as the Royals have evened up this ALDS. Go ahead.
How about them Royals, Vern?
Let's go.
Let's go. What a game. What a fun game. What an enjoyable to watch. I was very nervous at the beginning with the way the game started. That was, wow. Gave me some heart palpitations for sure.
But, well, Rodon was studly early. It didn't look like they were going to touch him.
Amazing. He looked almost unstoppable in the beginning.
Yep.
I had lots of feelings before it that we were thinking, hey, we can get to him easy. And then he came out like that, and it was like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And then in the beginning, right there, our pitching, Cole got, we could see the, he wasn't releasing the ball correctly. Like, it just seemed like he was nervous.
Well, he didn't have his fastball. He didn't have his fastball command in that first inning, and then he found it. And I thought he pitched better than his final line would indicate after that, once he was able to find that fastball in the first.
And that definitely made a difference. I didn't feel like he found it until the fourth inning. Like, really, when Salvi came out there and said, hey, how you doing, man? And then it was almost like, oh, a breath of fresh air. Here we go. Okay. And then it was just like, oh, there you are, Salvi. That's why we love you.
All right. All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. I don't know how far that script was going, that little dialogue that he had between them. Yeah, listen, again, Cole Reagans was not great, wasn't good, wasn't bad, though. 2 on, nobody out in the first inning, right? Back-to-back walks, Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto. By the way, after Soto drew that walk in the first inning, he stared Cole Reagans down as he walked towards the first base bag. And that's Juan Soto. That's how he plays. He's having a good time out there, and he loves competition, loves the challenge. I'm a big Juan Soto fan. I'm also a big Cole Reagans fan. So when those two met up again in the third inning, to set the stage, again, 2 on, nobody out in the first inning. Cole Reagans gets out of it by striking out Judge, Wells, and getting Stanton to ground out. Had another man in scoring position in the second inning with 2 outs. Cole Reagans gets out of it, striking out John Birdie as he swings through a changeup. But in that third inning, Cole Reagans is already at 48 pitches as he opens up the third, and he opens up the third the same way he opened up the game, with a walk. So leadoff man on for Juan Soto. Soto, who again got into a nice little competition with Reagans in the first, won the competition, and stared Cole down. But in that third inning matchup between Reagans and Soto, Reagans wins. Reagans wins with a slider in that Soto can't touch. And Cole Reagans returns the stare. Like, I've never seen this from Reagans in my 2 years around him. He strikes out Soto. Soto swings through the slider. And as Reagans is turning his back to the hitter like he always does, you know, before getting the ball back from Salvi, Reagans catches himself, remembers who it was that he just did that to. He snaps his head around and makes sure that Soto sees him glaring and staring. Oh, I love that back and forth. That was big time. And that third inning got bumpy too for Cole Reagans. Because after that strikeout to Juan Soto, Aaron Judge flies one to right field for the second out. But back-to-back singles off of Cole Reagans sees the New York Yankees take a 1-0 lead. Wells hits a fastball. Stanton takes care of a changeup away. Bobby maybe could have made that backhanded play. I've seen him make that backhanded play this season, but Bobby ended up making it good later on with a pair of big-time inning-ending double plays. My point being, Cole Reagans had traffic in every single inning and only allowed one earned run. No doubt about it, his bullpen picked him up. And four walks is anything than anything but quality for a pitcher the caliber of Cole Reagans, but I certainly wouldn't characterize him as bad or he didn't find it until the fourth. Reagans made big pitches in the first, second, third, and fourth. Didn't make a single pitch in the fifth, but the bullpen made it stand up. Royals win 4-2 in their coming back to Kansas City tomorrow, and they'll play Game 3 on Wednesday night, 6:08 for the first pitch. My on-deck show begins at 5 o'clock. Let's go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line. We'll talk with Justin in the Northland. Justin, you're next up on the post-game show. Go ahead.
Vern, how about them Royals? How about them Chiefs? This is a good time to be a Kansas City fan.
You know that's right.
Hey, man, so Bobby, he's just not been hit. He's swinging for the fences. He's not hitting perfectly, but I think he'll do great in Kansas City when he comes back home and gets his feet under him. But Vinny, he's not doing the best. Is there any chance we can get Barry Bonds for the rest of the series to see if we could get some power out of the DH spot?
Yeah, maybe. I'll put you on that. You're in charge of that, Justin. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Tony and Kearney. Tony, you're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 and the Fan AM 610. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, let's go Royals. I'm just sitting here on the deck having a celebratory cigar. What a game. I'm going to be out there Wednesday. I'm so excited. I think we're going to get these guys Wednesday and Thursday. That place was quiet. Yeah, we got this. Lugo, pitching and defense, just like you've said all year. Thanks for all you do, Vern. I love you, man. Thanks.
Hey, right back at you, Tony. Thank you very much, buddy. From Kearney to Kansas City, let's go to Marcus. You're next up on the postgame show in the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, Vern, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, just like the last guy said, I'm just appreciative of what you've done this entire season, the last two seasons. I know last year was a hard one to stick through. So I'm just appreciative that, you kept us KC faithful, you know, very hopeful. So
thanks, man.
Appreciative of that. So this series, man, it's been a great one. I can't believe how much, like, Kansas City has really came through. I can't wait for us to have a home game this one. Really excited. Can't wait. I think I'm going to try to make it out to Kauffman on Wednesday myself.
Nice.
So, you know, it's just dope to see the entire city come through for sports again, especially right. With the baseball team. So, like, yeah, can't wait. Excited to see New York come to Kansas City this week. So,
about to feel it, no doubt. No, they're about to get it. consistently starting on Wednesday. And you know what? Send them back to New York on Thursday night, and they can, you know, they don't even need to go back to New York after the game on Thursday. They can go to Cabo. They can go to Cancun. They can go to Turks and Caicos. They can go wherever they want, because they're going to have to get out of Kauffman Stadium, going to have to get out of Kansas City. Royals have the opportunity for their next road trip, you know, to either be Cleveland for game one of the ALCS or in Detroit for game three of the ALCS. I mean, it's actually, Royals could have home field advantage in the ALCS. If you missed it earlier today, Detroit knotted up their best of five ALDS as they got to Emmanuel Class A in the ninth inning. Speaking of the ninth inning, the Yankees got to Lucas Urseg in the ninth inning. Jazz Chisholm took Urseg deep, a 100-mile-per-hour fastball in on the lefty Chisholm, and he rips it over the right field wall, 107 miles per hour off the bat. Take a listen to what Jazz Chisholm had to say after the game about this 4-2 Yankees loss.
How different does the series feel now after game two compared to after game one?
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
There you go. They just got lucky, according to Jazz Chisholm. I don't believe I ever said that on Saturday after the Royals game one loss. I don't think I said the Yankees got lucky. I gave the Yankees credit for executing. Juan Soto made a throw that the Royals were unable to make themselves. You know, Salvi's defense. A base running mistake. Maybe I wasn't eager to say that the Yankees took the game. Sure, maybe I acknowledged the Royals' shortcomings and their eight walks and said that the Royals did as much to lose the game as the Yankees did to win the game, but I never said the Yankees got lucky. Yankees are a good team, and you saw that in game one. I understand that Chisholm has to exude confidence and be who he always has been, a confident, quality, athletic ball player, a clubhouse voice, a clubhouse leader. But where did the Royals get lucky? Again, the Royals scored all four of their runs in that fourth inning. Salvi's home run was a spinner in the middle of the dish. Nothing lucky about him blasting that bad boy. Oh, Royals took an extra 90 feet in that four-run fourth as Yuli Gurriel moved up on a wild pitch. Tommy Pham stole a base. Garrett Hampson took an extra 90 feet on a throw to the plate. Nothing lucky about good base running. Nothing lucky about a professional veteran approach, which is exactly how the Royals scored those three runs with two outs. Tommy Pham had an elevated slider out over the middle of the plate, and instead of trying to get big, he just roasted that bad boy to the opposite field, to right center field, for that RBI single. Garrett Hampson put a good swing on a slider down. Okay, it finds a hole. I wouldn't call that luck. Again, that ball left Hampson's bat at 106 miles per hour. That's not a duck snort. That thing had, you know, some heat coming off of it. Yuli Gurriel, seven-pitch battle. Slider down. No, that was a great piece of hitting by one of the great hitters in Major League Baseball over the past, or just one of the great hitters in the sport over the past 20 years, whether it's in the big leagues or his time back in Cuba. So the four runs, you know, even Michael Garcia drives in a run there in the fourth inning. Garcia with a gorgeous approach. Michael with that fourth run, that RBI single in the fourth to finish off the inning. That's the Mikel Garcia that we fell in love with last year. The Mikel Garcia that is thinking up the middle the other way. Right, he saw a slider elevated. He's not trying to get big. He, too, goes to the opposite field to drive in that fourth Royals run. Nothing lucky about that. Nothing lucky about the Royals' bullpen performance. Now, if Jazz Chisholm is talking about the great plays that Bobby Witt Jr. made that extinguished threats in the fifth and eighth, respectively, that's not luck. That's Bobby Witt Jr. Now, the only thing that Bobby Witt Jr. and luck, the only way those two things go hand in hand is the luck of us in Kansas City that the Baltimore Orioles took Adley Rutschman number one overall back in 2019. That's the luck involved with Bobby Witt Jr. I'm a fan of Jazz Chisholm. I'm just having a tough time understanding where the luck came in tonight's 4-2 Royals victory. Let's go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line and go to Uriah in Pleasant Hill. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals even up the ALDS. Go ahead.
Hey, Garcia had a great game, and that's 100% with what you were saying. You know, maybe didn't have it from the heart of the lineup, but we had Garcia come through.
Yep.
Tommy Pham came through. Hampson came through. Those are the guys, man, you know?
Yeah. Salvi as well. Uriah, thanks for the phone call, bud. Appreciate it. Salvi as well. Salvi now has 53 total bases in his postseason career. Only George Brett and Alcides Escobar have more in Royals franchise history. Salvi also now with 132 playoff at-bats. Only George Brett, Alcides Escobar, and Frank White have more. Let's go to Connor in Overland Park. You're next up on the Main Street Credit Union phone line. Connor, we have ourselves a best-of-three series, and the Royals have home field advantage, buddy. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel amazing, Vern. Let's take down these dang Yankees and NKC and Salvador Perez. Holy cow, my favorite player. The captain did it tonight. Let's go! Woo!
I can't wait for that ovation. Connor, man, thank you for the phone call. This might be the first time I've thought about that. I dreamed about it all season, this team getting Salvi to October. Salvi getting the kind of love that I saw him get after the game, right? I saw Salvi interviewed by, who was that, Pedro Martinez, Hall of Famer, Dusty Baker, future Hall of Famer, Jimmy Rollins, a former MVP that you can make a Hall of Fame case if you want. I'll listen to it. I'll buy it. And then the great Curtis Granderson. So happy to see Salvi get that national love. And I remember this offseason. You know, conversations with countless different media members and sports radio hosts around the city. And they would always bring up the ovation that Bobby's going to get on opening day. Vern, oh my gosh, what's it going to sound like on opening day 2024? Bobby Witt Jr. introduced to a near sellout crowd at Kauffman Stadium. After he signs that big deal, Vern, they're going to go crazy for Bobby. And I would always respond, yeah, no doubt, but Salvi's going to get the loudest pop. Salvi is still everyone's number one. Sure, I know plenty of people that would say, no, Kyle Isbell's my favorite. Bobby Witt Jr.'s my favorite. Mikel Garcia, Vinny. I know you have other favorites. But Salvi's your number one. Salvi's the OG. Salvi already has put together the second greatest career of any Royal in history. He's a Mount Rushmore player. That number 13 is going to be retired. The pop that he is going to receive when his name is called and he runs out to that first base line coming up on Wednesday night, oh, baby, I don't think you truly understand what that's going to sound like. Because, again, the lineup coming up on Wednesday night, Clark Schmidt's a righty. So it's going to be Michael Massey leading off, followed by Bobby Witt Jr. That place is going to be exploding. Vinny Pasquantino in his one hand will come running out to a big ovation. And then they'll introduce the captain. And the capacity crowd at Kauffman Stadium will lose their collective minds. And I expect that place to be peaking until the end, until maybe the Yankees take a lead. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But I don't know if that atmosphere on Wednesday is going to be like anything I've ever experienced at Kauffman Stadium. And I went to all of the games in 15, all of the games in 14. I've heard the stories about 85 and 80 in those classic matchups in the 70s. Wednesday could be something special, and I mean really special. Royals take game two of the ALDS. They double up the Yankees 4-2, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. We go back to the Main Street Credit Union phone line. JD in Chanute, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Vern. I'm so happy for the Royals, and by golly, the Chiefs won, too. So it's been a great evening.
Yeah. And I survived in my guillotine league. Barely. By like less than a point, I survived my guillotine league. So we're all doing well.
Guillotine?
Yeah. JD, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, appreciate it. Check it out. If you're into fantasy football, Paul Charchian's guillotine leagues, Cody and Gold are always talking about them. So much fun. Barely survived this week. Also hit that Royals-Tigers parlay today. Got the winnings from a fantasy baseball second place finish. Man, I'm on top of the world on this Monday night, ladies and gentlemen. How about you? Let me know. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. I'll repeat my overall sentiment from this game. The game came down to two things in my mind. The inexperienced relievers on this team dealing, and the experienced bats on this team dealing. They both delivered, they both dealt, and they both led to a Royals 4-2 victory. The big picture, you're in complete and total control, Kansas City. You're in control of this series, and honestly, your postseason fate is in your hands. There's not a team in the American League as well-rounded as this Royals ball club. Not when you have this bullpen. Not when Zerpa and Schreiber and Bubich and Urseg are performing like this. Not when I believe Sam Long's going to bounce back from that disappointing performance Saturday in New York. Haven't seen Daniel Lynch yet or Brady Singer. Only got a brief look at Michael Lorenzen. But if the bullpen is now no longer being questioned, if it's now a strength to go along with an elite rotation, defense, and team speed, well, the only team that I would say can boast something similar are the San Diego Padres. And the only way you're going to see the Friars is if it's the Fall Classic. And that's fine by me. Bring them on. Bring on that bullpen. Bring on Manny and Nando and Xander and the rest. But Kansas City, you are in complete control. It's a best of three series, and you have home field advantage. Game three comes your way. 6:08 for the first pitch on Wednesday night. I'll have the on-deck show beginning at 5 o'clock as Seth Lugo squares off with Clark Schmidt. We'll take our final quick timeout. Get right back to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Salmi throws it high in the air, deep left field. No doubt about it. It's a home run. A game-tying blast from the Royals captain. A 402-foot home run for Salvador Perez. He rounds third and pounds his chest, and he ties the game at one in the top of the fourth inning.
A 2-0 spinner from Carlos Rodon is demolished by the captain. 104 miles per hour off the bat. His fourth home run off of Carlos Rodon in just 29 plate appearances. Salvi starts the scoring, ties the game up. By the end of that fourth inning, the Royals would be up 4-1. Three runs with two outs in that four-run fourth, and that's all this Royals pitching staff would need, as the bullpen would clean up the final five frames. Angel Zerpa with a scoreless fifth. John Schreiber a 1-2-3, but taxing 20-pitch sixth. Schreiber needed 20 pitches to get through the sixth. Bubich needed just 22 pitches to get through the seventh and eighth combined. And then Lucas Urseg picks up his third save in four postseason games with Kansas City. 4-2, your final score. Game three comes your way Wednesday night in front of a raucous Kauffman Stadium crowd. All right, let's go to the Main Street Credit Union phone line following this game to victory. Let's head up to St. Joe, talk with Sam. You're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan and The Fan AM 610. Go ahead.
What's going on, Vern? You know, I was at the Chiefs game tonight at Arrowhead Stadium, and what a sight it was to have people standing there looking at their phones with the Royals game going on, looking at the game, looking at their phones, having random Let's Go Royals chants erupt throughout the stadium, having the stadium just go nuts when the Royals won the game. Random moment in the Chiefs game, the stadium was as loud as it could be. Man, what a night in Kansas City. Monday night football game at the same time that the Royals were playing a playoff game. We are certainly blessed to be Kansas City sports fans.
Well said. Thank you very much for the phone call. Sam, get home safe. I'm seeing Michael Garcia on social media putting some receipts out there. Carlos Rodon came off the field in the first inning laughing like the Joker. Now, he performed like a superhero, or, you know, from the Kansas City perspective, like a villain in the first inning, as Michael Garcia stared at 96 on the black for a punch out. Bobby Witt Jr. couldn't catch up to 98 from Rodon. And then Vinny swang through a slider in the dirt. And Carlos Rodon, needing just 12 pitches, retired the side, struck out the side in the first. And he went bouncing off the mound with his tongue hanging out, and he's laughing. And he dominated the Royals in the first inning, no doubt. But is this your first baseball game? A lot of pitchers look good in the first. I know Reagan's didn't look good in the first as he walked the first two batters, but then he got out of it too. He didn't go skipping off the mound, smiling and laughing with his tongue wagging. Maybe that's why Salvi was wagging his tongue as he rounded third in that leadoff home run in the fourth. But Michael Garcia just sent out a tweet of a Carlos Rodon, a little mixtape from his first inning performance. Well, some fan put it together. Michael quote tweets that video of Rodon dancing around the mound tonight, and it just says, "Don't celebrate too early." Michael also tweeting, We don't fear nobody. Garcia tonight, 4-for-5 as he becomes the fourth player in franchise history to have a four-hit playoff game. Let's go to Jessica up in Parkville. Jessica, you're on the post-game show as the Royals double up the Yankees. 4-2, the final score. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm awesome. This was fantastic. I don't have any critiques. I don't have any criticism. I just want to say the boys are playing some ball. This was so exciting. This was fantastic to watch. Last night was a gut punch, but we've got this. I believe in these Royals, and let's go blue. Let's go.
Let's go blue. I'm with that. I'm with that through and through. Whether we're talking college football or big league baseball, I'm with you on that one, Jessica. Very nice hearing from you. Appreciate you dialing up the Main Street Credit Union phone line. If you want to grab a line, go for it. 913-586-7965. Haven't mentioned Michael Massey yet, and that's a poor reflection of me. Massey reaches base safely 3 times tonight. After reaching base twice in Game 1, reaching base safely twice in Game 2 against the Orioles, and reaching base in his first ever plate appearance back in Game 1 against the Orioles. So, add it all up, and through his first 4 playoff games, Michael Massey's 6-for-15. 6-for-15 with a pair of walks. Small sample size, yes, I understand, but a .400 batting average and a .938 OPS, small sample size or not, I'll take it. And you knew you were going to need someone to come alongside Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. You figured it would be too difficult in October to win the same way that you won earlier this season when it was all pitching, defense, team speed, and the big three. Now, sure, that's how you won a majority of those 86 wins over the course of the season. But when you're facing the best of the best every single night, you're going to need a little bit more. And the bullpen has certainly done its part. Boy, have they ever. But Michael Massey, Yuli Gurriel, Michael Garcia, Garrett Hampson, Tommy Pham, you know, back on Saturday, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, you're getting contributions, you're getting quality execution up and down the lineup right now. Yuli Gurriel has reached base safely in all 4 games of this postseason. Tonight, by the way, was Gurriel's 90th career playoff game. If you're just joining us, yes, Royals win 4-2. Bobby Witt Jr., again, another 0-for-5. For the first time in his career, back-to-back 0-for-5s. He was a star defensively tonight. Boy, did he put on a show at shortstop. Now, he wasn't perfect. You know, that one run that came in to score for the Yankees off of Cole Reagans. I'm not saying it's a play that Bobby should have made or that the average shortstop would make. But I bet you Bobby thinks he should have made that play. Giancarlo Stanton's infield single, RBI infield single in the third. He smoked it, no doubt about it. It was hard hit to Bobby's backhand, a short hop kind of ate up the Royals shortstop, and the ball caromed into left field, and Bobby's throw to the plate was somewhat wild. Again, it was a very difficult play, but now, Witt's going to win the Gold Glove for a reason. It's because he makes that play, you know, 4 out of every 5 times. But he made up for it with a pair of inning-ending double plays that he started, one in the 5th to help out Angel Zerpa, and another to help out Chris Bubich finish off his 2nd inning of work. So Bobby, not much offensively, 0-for-5 with 3 punch-outs, but he is the defensive star of the day. And our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Let me run through a few of these text messages real quick. 913-586-7965. The text line is the same as our phone line. 913-586-7965. Betty from Ottawa is looking for an explanation as to why the TV announcers all say that Aaron Judge is the no-doubt American League MVP. Yeah, Betty, I'm with you. Well, I mean, the reasons are, you know, statistically, Judge does have a higher OPS. You know, he did have a higher wins above replacement. Yeah, he did lead Major League Baseball in home runs and RBI, and he's a great player. Do I think it should be as much of a slam dunk as it appears to be? Of course not. No. No, because, you know, Aaron Judge has Juan Soto hitting in front of him. With all due respect to Michael Garcia and Vinny and Salvi and Massey and whoever's hitting around Bobby Witt Jr., they're not Juan Soto. You know, Bobby's also the best defensive shortstop in the American League, the fastest player in the league, led the league in batting average. You know, second only to Aaron Judge in extra base hits. So he runs, he fields, he throws, he hits for average, and he hits for power, and his team also made the postseason. I have no problem with Judge winning it. His team won the division. Bobby's team did not win their division. I have no problem with Aaron Judge winning it, but it should be a lot closer than it appears it's going to be. Betty, I'm with you. Thank you very much for listening. Text here from Emily in Atlanta. Looking forward to seeing Bobby back at home, roaring back in the series, and hearing the baseball world fall in love with him, at least, Vern, those who haven't already fallen in love with Bobby. That's Emily in Atlanta. Yeah, I had this discussion with CDOT last week about how high Bobby can climb as far as his stardom in Major League Baseball. And I think we all agree that Shohei and Aaron Judge and maybe Bryce Harper are in a class by themselves. I don't know who you would say is on the second tier, maybe a Fernando Tatis, a Mike Trout. But, you know, I wonder if Jazz Chisholm and Giancarlo Stanton are more well-known than Bobby Witt Jr. Now, Corey Seager's a two-time World Series MVP. He played for the Dodgers, now plays for the Rangers, two major markets. And he's a stud. He's a good-looking ball player with rings and money and numbers and awards. And yet, I don't think Corey Seager's a recognizable face. It's tough to truly break through in Major League Baseball. Now, you can make a case that Mike Trout never did. Maybe Justin Verlander has. Maybe he's in that group with Judge and Otani and Bryce Harper. But it's going to be tough for Bobby, in my opinion, to make that type of leap. Because I don't know if Ronald Acuna or Trey Turner ever made that leap. You know, Mookie Betts, I would say he's on that second tier, but I don't think Freddie Freeman's there. It's tough to really cross over when you're a baseball player, to break through the baseball world, the baseball bubble, to break out of that bubble and become a national star is a tough thing to do. I don't know if it's possible for Bobby to do it in his first postseason run. I hope so. He's an easy guy to root for. For as great of a baseball player as he already appears to be, he's an even better young man. Easy to root for. And as a Kansas Cityan, you're proud that your city is stitched across his chest. Jeff in Blue Springs says, "Hey, Vern, what do you know? Turns out there is a reason why you sign veteran guys with postseason experience." Yeah, well said. Yuli, Tommy, and Garrett. All three of them scored a run tonight. Throw in Salvador Perez, and there are your four runs. Tommy Pham with, 35 playoff games under his belt? Salvi with 35 playoff games under his belt. Yuli Gurriel, as I mentioned, played in his 90th playoff game tonight. And then Garrett Hampson in his third postseason run of his career. So it's a great point. Yeah, the veterans, again, my biggest takeaway from the game, the experienced bats and the inexperienced relievers led you to this 4-2 Royals victory and this evened up best-of-five game ALDS, which is now a best-of-three, and the Kansas City Royals hold home field advantage. John in Mission is breaking out the Jameson once again. Shocker. John in Olathe says, Vern, they're having a great road trip, aren't they? Yeah, how about that? It's now been 2 weeks, 15 days on the road for the Royals. Right, three in Washington, and then they went to Atlanta, and then a day off, and then they went to Baltimore, and then a day off, and then they went to New York and took a day off, and now they play to New York tonight, and they'll stay in New York tonight and finally get back home tomorrow. 15 days on the road, and they're going to come back for playoff baseball. Who would have thunk it? Dean from Olathe says, Vern, what a clutch pitching and hitting performance. I'm not worried about Bobby. Our boys will pick him up. Series isn't over yet, Vern, but I'm feeling really good because we have the Yankees coming to our place for two, signed Dean in Olathe. From the 6-2-0, Vern, did you mention Cole Reagan's stare down of Juan Soto in the third inning? I did. It was beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen the competitor so evident from Cole Reagan's. You know what I mean? Obviously, he's a competitor. You don't get to where he's arrived. You don't overcome back-to-back Tommy John surgeries if you're not a fighter, if you're not a competitor. Well, you don't become one of the five best pitchers on the planet if you're not down to battle. You saw Reagan's battle tonight. He battled in Baltimore. But I've never seen that fire. Whatever it is that fuels Cole Reagan's, he does a good job of keeping that all locked up inside. First time I've ever seen it manifest in that way. That was cool to see, no doubt. Andy in Westport. Vern, things that were not on my bingo card. Garrett Hampson in line to be the ALDS MVP. Well, I don't think they have an ALDS MVP, but your point is made, and your point is correct. Again, Garrett Hampson, 3-for-3 so far in this series. Hayden in Lenexa, also not worried about Bobby Witt Jr. You know he'll find his stride. Yeah, listen, you don't hit 333 or 332 or whatever Bob did this year. You don't turn out to be the runner-up in the American League MVP if you're just going to fade away in October. Now, some may. I'm sure along the lines there have been MVP runner-up, runners-up that shrink in October. But that's not Bobby Witt Jr. He's already passed the tests. He has. Two game-winning knocks in Baltimore. The moment is not too big for the 24-year-old. I'll tell you that right now. Sam from Charleston, South Carolina. Love the show. But once again, Vern, walks. Walking the leadoff guy is killing us. We got to figure out our pitching. And if we do, we will indeed be scary. On to game three, signed Sam. Yeah, leadoff walk for Cole Reagan's in the first. He did it again in the third and again in the fourth. Only one of those leadoff walks came back to bite the Royals, so good point. Yeah, they are fortunate, no doubt. But also credit to Cole Reagan's for locking in, for battling, for being that competitor. Rally Mantis, he's all fired up about Cole Reagan's, as he should be. Jose from Santa Monica writes in, love how the team is playing, stealing bases, aggressive base running. And Vern, I'm looking for Bobby to have multiple extra base hits back at home. Jose, I'm with you on that one, man. To me, that is a home run bet, the Bobby over 1.5 total bases for Wednesday night. If you were listening to the On Deck show earlier today, I made you money, gave you a plus $200 bet that was easily cashed. If you were listening earlier today, I gave you a plus $300 bet that also easily cashed. Well, now the next check to cash is Seth Lugo's ALDS debut. See if he can, well, you know what? He's already earned every single penny of that $15 million the Royals are paying him this year. Now it's just legacy. Right, for a guy like Seth Lugo, now it's just about capping off this breakout campaign of 2024. Capping it with a postseason victory against the New York Yankees in front of the most raucous crowd he's ever performed in front of. Game 3, Wednesday night, 6:08 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck show beginning at 5 o'clock as Seth Lugo squares off with the fellow right-hander, Clark Schmidt. Again, we'll be live from Kauffman Stadium. I'll have the On Deck show beginning at 5 o'clock. I'm sure everybody from the station's going to be out there. All the guys from 96.5 The Fan, AM 610 The Fan. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but you know how we do things. As a city, as a station, as a fan base, it's going to get wild on Wednesday. Shoot, it's going to be wild starting tomorrow morning at 5:58 with Fesco and Dusty on the morning show recapping this Chiefs victory, this Royals victory. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your night. I'll talk to you Wednesday from the K. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.